Greetings yet again, Halloween junkies. Eric Weister with you yet again, and this month we're off to see the number 2 spot on our must-see haunts for 2013. Louisville, Kentucky to be specific, and the classically creepy Baxter Avenue Morgue. Their website is www.baxtermorgue.com. They lurk about on Facebook, search for Baxter Avenue Morgue, and their YouTube channel is simply The Baxter Morgue. By way of accolades and testimonials, the morgue has captured the local Kentucky Haunt of the Year for several running, in addition to landing the top spot on the Best of Kentucky for a few seasons as well. The morgue has quickly become a legend in the Louisville area, with a large cult following. It's one of those unique places that gives you a bad case of the creeps even before you enter it. Kind of like being on a blind date with Baker. But I digress. There are various rooms and corridors that will terrify you. Or, if you're the demented type like us, it will inspire you to levels of new ghoulishness. Graveyards, spiders' lairs, crematoriums, prisons filled with tortured souls, body bag alleys, werewolves, vampires, banshees, they're all here and they're waiting for you. Another big reason for its reputation is its design, one of the most intimidating in the industry. The scenes can be tight and confining, with low ceilings and dark atmospheres, giving the sense of having nowhere to run or hide. This place features one of the all-time best master of ceremonies, funeral director Warren Vanderdark. In addition to his wife Lillian and their son Nathaniel, steal the show every time. In particular Warren, as he has been at it for years. This guy alone is worth the price of admission. You can get a taste of his shtick over on YouTube. Did I neglect to mention that the place is rumored to be genuinely haunted? The morgue has been investigated by the sci-fi channel's Factor Faked, who ultimately determined that the place is, in fact, the real deal when it comes to haunting. Believe in this sort of thing or not, the morgue is one eerie place. In fact, one actor kept daring the spirits to come after him and, well, I'll let you find out for yourselves. Zombies? Sure. But the look here reaches back towards the original Night of the Living Dead. Fans of the film will know what I'm talking about. Add in a smidgen of children shouldn't play with dead things, and you've got the general idea. I think the best way I can describe this one is creepy but cramped. Very eerie, but it's definitely a tight fit in there. The decor invokes moments reminiscent of films like Dracula, Frankenstein, and White Zombie. And just for the record, one film that really encompasses the vibe of the place is a 70s flick called La Mora, A Child's Tale of the Supernatural. Look that one up, Mr. Thunder. It may seem cheesy, but it definitely captures a mood. One aspect I really enjoyed about the morgue is the consistency of the attraction. This place feels like a repository for lost souls and tortured spirits, heavily reliant on a 70s-80s haunt vibe. Yeah, I know, I've said this a lot, but it holds true here. I had a great conversation with another member of the Scream team a number of months ago on this. That time period really harkens to a golden era of haunting, when CGI was non-existent, but you more than made up for it in imagination, characterization, and theme. In terms of that kind of atmosphere, the morgue, along with Akron, Ohio's Haunted School and Lab, and Broadview Heights' Bloodview are truly some of the best of the genre. A few blocks from the haunt are the Eastern and Cave Hill cemeteries. Eastern was shut down in 1989 when it was discovered cemetery officials were burying multiple people in the same grave since the 20s, while the Cave Hill Cemetery has been flourishing in their operation since 1948. I wonder if any from either of these has wandered over to the morgue. These two are terrific photo ops as well, with some aged and varied stones in attendance, and I will put a few on my blog this month. Watch for their line entertainment as well. They were doing a great take on Michael Jackson's Thriller in the back alley the night we were there. Also worthy of note, and I'm not certain if they're still doing this, but members of the Ghost Hunters show have been there from time to time as well. Do you really have to ask if this is safe for kids? This one will give them nightmares, I guarantee it. Don't even think about it. A fair warning to claustrophobics. As I alluded to earlier, this place is tight in spots, quite dark, and the halls tend to be narrow. If you have these type of issues, consider carefully before attending. Be aware that this is a cash-only attraction. No cards accepted at the door, but you can pre-order tickets on their website. And I speak from experience, this will save you a lot of hassles because the nearest ATM is several blocks away. Also be aware that there is parking available across the street from the morgue as well as behind the attraction, but it is limited. It's free if you can get it. Things to do in Louisville. Most of what Lisa and I are aware of is detailed in my review of The Devil's Attic in Hauntcast 47, but I will add there are several fine restaurants along the same stretch of road as the morgue, in addition to those two photo-ready cemeteries I mentioned earlier, a fine complement to this haunt so rich in the styling of the films of Universal. Ah, yes, the Universal monsters. Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the Mummy, and on and on and on. What can I say about them that hasn't been said countless times before? Plenty, actually. I've heard it said more than a few times lately that their influence is no longer relevant in the haunting and Halloween community. I mean, people argue that we have teddy bear, Frankenstein, and Wolfman dolls nowadays for crying out loud. But then again, why are they still around, and why have they endured so long? Obviously, talents the likes of Karloff, Lugosi, Chaney Sr. and Jr., John Carradine and Claude Rains, the likes of whom we will not see again, in addition to a host of others, brought these characters to life in a way that has oft been imitated, but never duplicated. The movies have an air of class to them sorely lacking in today's features. Imaginative directors and designers had a huge impact as well. Film noir and the Gothic movement are deeply indebted to these classics. These much-beloved icons may fade, but they never truly disappear, and the passage of time only increases their influence. The animated feature Transylvania Twist had a poignant moment in the final third of the film. Granted, this isn't the greatest of kiddie films, but if you can manage to sit through it, there's a sweet commentary about our love affair with these characters in this section. Someone said to me once that they've lost all of their scaring power and have become more prone to advertising lingo. Remember their appearance in the mid-90s snack commercials? Brrr, swore me off Doritos, let me tell ya. I tend to disagree with that ideal. Aren't most of the popular characters running around in modern horror films either direct or indirect offshoots of these icons? Just for the record, Iced Earth, an American metal band, released an album called Horror Show in 2001 dedicated to these legendary figures. If nothing else, check out the CD booklet art. Magnificent stuff. Speaking of mad monster parties, yes, I'm dropping references left and right here, aren't I? Midnight Syndicate has released a new CD titled Monsters of Legend, featuring the voice from hell himself, Mr. Dick Terhune, who has a few things to say about the matter. Okay, Dick, take it away.
Greetings, mortals, and Eric. Just over a year ago, I was talking with Ed Douglas, which should be cool enough for anyone. But then he told me that the next Midnight Syndicate release would be based on the classic creatures from the beloved Universal and Hammer horror films, the Monsters of Legend. And would I be interested in contributing some vocal bits? I don't think he was finished asking the question before I said, yes, those are my favorite movies of all time. Of course, whatever you want me to do, I'm in. One of the tracks is a re-recording of the Midnight Syndicate classic Requiem from their 1998 release, Born of the Night. Ed asked me if I could do a dark Latin prayer, something for the dead. The original Requiem incorporated traditional prayers for the dead. But in addition, I suggested that we do a prayer for the undead. Taking it further, could we make it a curse, as if the body being interred is doomed to rise again? Ed liked the idea, so I wrote a new dark prayer in Latin, recorded it, and that's what you'll hear in Midnight Syndicate's new Requiem on Monsters of Legend. And if you want to impress everyone at your next Shocktail party when they ask, have you heard the new Midnight Syndicate? I wonder what that guy was saying in Latin. Here's the translation of the new piece. You have passed from this earth. Your hunger shall be without end. Never to look upon the sun. Dead to the day, born of the night. Suffice it to say, getting the chance to work with Midnight Syndicate and play even a small part in this project was a dream come true. And if you haven't purchased the new Monsters of Legend CD yet, I hope you will treat yourself to it with all due speed. And this looks like my exit, so thanks for the lift, Eric. If you'll unlock the passenger side and slow her down to about 35, I think I can roll safely off to the side of the turnpike here and get back to the marketing morgue.
Thank you, old Dark Lord. And I'll thank you to kindly remove your famous Amos wrappers from my front seat upholstery, I swear. Tourists! Anyway, I spoke recently with Ed of Midnight Syndicate regarding Mr. Terhune's performance on the album, and he mentioned that not only was Dick a pleasure to work with, but he did such a marvelous job, they used his devilish tones on several more tracks than originally intended, and crafted a new ending to one track based on his ghoulish recitations. None too shabby. Don't take my word for it. Check it out yourself. Drawing things to a close here, the Baxter Avenue Morgue gets the coveted 5 out of 5 Screaming Scullies Award. One of the best haunts in the Louisville area. It makes for a great trio if added in with a dash of Jason Besseman's Devil's Attic, and over in Jeffersonville, Indiana, the Industrial Terrorplex. All within a stone throw of one another. But do pay special attention to the morgue while there. People are just dying to get in. Comments, critiques, suggestions? As ever, drop me a line at eric@hauntcast.net or look me up on the Facebook Minions page. I'll be around. Don't forget to check out my Blogspot page, the link to which is on the Hauntcast website. In addition to looking in on the morgue this month, I'll possibly be doing an extra post or two during the season as Lisa and I begin our travels. And if we run across something really special, we'll let you all know. October arrives at last next month, and we're off to Jeffersonville, Indiana, to look in on my number one pick for must-see haunt for 2013. And I just mentioned them a moment ago, and it's a huge beast of an attraction. The aforementioned Industrial Terrorplex. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on this one. So, until we meet again in 30 days or so, keep busting it out and always remember Sven Gulli's credo and brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, and stay scary.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.